You came in right after the Cairns meeting in 2000 in Australia, and at that meeting there was a culmination of four different working groups that had been working on reform of the World Heritage System, which came about because of the rapid growth in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And there was an issue, one working group was working on making the committee more representative, another on making the World Heritage List more representative, another on fixing up the operational guidelines that had, like Topsy, just grown, and then the one that I was responsible for, which was administrative reforms, which were not very sexy, but were important to be done because the system was not functioning very efficiently. The question I asked myself is how significant that work has been, because those working group reports were all adopted and implemented, mm-hmm. and how much impact did they actually have?
Well, I'm not sure if I'd be able to answer all of that. Certainly some of the aspects that I've been most involved with that may have come out of that would be the application of buffer zones. And it's one area that's been a real bone of contention in the United States for a long time, and I think with other countries as well. And I actually attended an experts meeting on buffer zones, I think around 2008 or 9, and we tried to make the point that similar to a related convention with the UNESCO Biosphere Reserve program, not a convention, where the buffer zones are problematic because the way we see it, they've emphasized the form over the function, where the importance of having a line on a map and saying this is a buffer zone versus what is the actual requirements, what are the actual issues facing a site external to the site, and what is the state party doing to address those issues, those potential threats. I mean, back to the Everglades, if we were to have a true buffer zone, it would take two-thirds of the state of Florida. So that would be completely unworkable, and you could probably find many other sites around the world where an honest buffer zone would be much larger than anyone could ever actually envision in practice. So instead, what is the state party actually doing to address those external threats? In the case of the Everglades, we have obviously literally billions of dollars of projects going on. And so I think that is one of the reasons that the U.S. for decades now has had a problem both with World Heritage and the Biosphere Reserve concept is on what's happening outside of the site and how is the state party dealing with that. Of course, that's what led to the almost disbanding of the World Heritage Program in the U.S. in the mid-1990s when the New World Mine was proposed just outside of Yellowstone National Park, and which, as you know, led to hearings in Congress to require congressional approval of any new World Heritage Site nomination or Biosphere Reserve. And even though those laws did not pass Congress, the U.S. administration, the Clinton administration, basically put a World Heritage in the deep freeze, and it took a long time to get out of that.
So let's tease out the case of Yellowstone. The concern would be what?
Well, the concern with the buffer zone concept is that you're now telling me, as a property owner or as another landowner, whether it's state or other federal agency, that you're dictating to me how I manage my land. And I did not agree to be a World Heritage Site or a buffer zone to World Heritage Site. So who are you, particularly who are you in Paris, you know, to tell me how to manage my land?
But what would be how then, instead of that, how would you identify a specific concern or concerns around Yellowstone in terms of the gold mine, for instance?
Right. Well, it would have been that the U.S. government, working through its internal processes, we have our own environmental review process, that we could have we could have gone through that process. In fact, this is what, you know, critics at the time were saying, and we could have evaluated the threat that way. And I think that to this day, that's probably, you know, the response we would get for anything happening outside the World Heritage property itself, that we have our internal processes, and we'll emphasize that first.